from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The federal government has never taken over a police department before, and it's not going to start with Oakland. City officials announced last night they've struck a deal to avoid the OPD going into receivership. The deal with civil rights lawyers who wanted the federal takeover calls for a compliance director independent of the city to oversee reforms and a payout of more than $10 million to the plaintiffs and their attorneys. The deal still needs approval by the federal judge overseeing the police department's compliance with the 2003 settlement of a lawsuit that accused four officers of beating the plaintiffs, planting false evidence on them, and making false arrests. Thousands of workers at the ports of L.A. and Long Beach went back to work yesterday following an 8-day strike by the clerical unit of the ILWU. Other unions honored the picket line, and after an anxious week, they're relieved to be pulling paychecks again. Kimberly Ayers reports.
The union's dispatch hall was crowded Wednesday afternoon as longshoreman Eric Langdon checked the job board.
There's 219 jobs tonight. I've never seen that many top handlers. Usually it ranges between 50 and 90.
It had been a long week for Langdon. No work, no pay, as he and thousands of other union members stayed home, bringing the country's largest port complex almost to a halt. But solidarity can come with sleepless nights.
When we didn't go back to work Monday, there was a lot of grumbling, a lot of people that were upset. And you could talk to my wife. She was, by Monday, I was a pretty grumpy fellow.
Turning his ancient pickup toward the port again Wednesday, Langdon was grateful to get back to the job of unloading ships. Tuesday night's late news of an agreement between the shipping companies and the 800-member Office Clerical Unit of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union was a happy ending to a drama nobody wanted. For the California Report, I'm Kimberly Ayers in Los Angeles.
The December issue of National Geographic features a natural wonder familiar to many Californians, the President, one of the oldest giant sequoia trees in Sequoia National Park. It's the second largest tree on Earth, according to Steve Sillett of Humboldt State University. How does he know? He climbed it to find out.
My laboratory studies all species of tall trees, so we've done quite a bit of work in the Coast Redwood, the giant sequoia, Douglas fir, Sitka spruce, and Australian eucalyptus, two species over there. So if it comes to tall trees, I'm the go-to guy.
Now, despite the obvious cool factor of climbing trees, what do you gain scientifically by doing that?
I'm interested in figuring out what are the limits to tree performance on this world. You know, how tall can they grow? How much wood can they produce? And how is their performance, when measured as growth, driven by variability in climate and environment. So it's just sort of an all-encompassing research program designed to figure out how these trees work.
And you learned a few new things, I take it, when you climbed the President?
Well, the President tree is one of 40 giant sequoias that we've been studying intensively. Happens to be the biggest one that we've studied. And it's important to get the full size range of trees so that we can understand the species from start to finish. We're trying to get a full life history approach for each of these tall tree species. So the President was a nice endpoint for giant sequoia. You know, a 3,200-year-old tree has a lot to teach us.
And how do you gauge the size of a tree that is that big? How do you come to the determination the President is the second biggest tree in the world?
When we measure a tree, we do more than just stretch a tape around the trunk at breast height. We measure the diameter of the trunk at all heights. We measure all the major limbs and branches. We also collect increment core samples from the main trunk to quantify bark thickness and sapwood thickness, and also to quantify the tree's age and growth history. So for the President tree, we spent 32 people day equivalents aloft, a team of 8 people working 10-hour days for 4 days, measuring everything in the tree. And we also have a bunch of other trees that we've done similar things to, so we can infer a lot about the President tree's structural characteristics by comparing the data we collected from its crown with those other trees. So, for example, we can tell you that it has almost 2 billion leaves that would cover over a hectare of area. It has 54,000 cubic feet of bark and wood in it, There's only one other tree in the world that actually is bigger, and it's only slightly bigger, and that's the General Sherman.
Why do trees grow so big? What's the benefit to the tree?
Well, as they get bigger and bigger, they become impervious to the forces of nature, such as fire and wind and competition from other trees. There's nothing that could knock the president tree over, for example. And there's no way another tree can crowd it and shade it out. It is just, it's there, it's dominant, and it's going to stay that way.
What are some of the outstanding questions you'd like to answer in the next few years?
Well, we're trying to figure out everything we can about the trees. The big unknown remains what's happening below ground. We really don't have any good data on these big tree root systems. And in order to get those data, you'd have to do some pretty destructive sampling. We're hoping to find another means of quantifying roots. But for the above ground portion of the tree, we've got pretty good handle on it now. And right now, it's at the end of a 3-year project where we've been establishing these monitoring plots throughout the state, 16 hectares in California. And we're in the process of writing up those results as a foundation report and also as a baseline so that we can understand how these trees are likely to respond to future changes.
And are these trees available to the public, to hikers who go, for instance, to Sequoia?
Oh, absolutely. There's a paved wheelchair accessible trail that goes all around the what's called Giant Forest. It's called the Congress Trail, and it's in Sequoia National Park. And so you can go, and the General Sherman tree has its own parking area. And you can hike all through this forest. It's just an amazing place. So I take it you haven't seen the president tree?
No. Outside of the magazine, no.
You're going to have to make a pilgrimage.
It sounds like it. Well, thank you for talking with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks very much, Rachel.
Steve Sillett is a forest ecology expert at Humboldt State University. For video and photos of Sillett and his team at work, shot beautifully by a National Geographic photographer, head to our website, californiareport.org. That's the California Report for Thursday, December 6th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com.